This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Dr. Matthew Johnson, and his website is rusjournal.org. A question from the chat room. Let's see, where is that question? Oh, not from the chat room, but from email. The question is that this individual has been hearing recently that homosexuals are being harassed, beaten, etc. by the Russian police. Does this guest know if this is true or whether this is Putin's policy?
I know that if that were the case, he would just get more and more popular. As far as an activist group is concerned, you know, Putin has no direct control over local cops.
Right.
But these NGOs are financed entirely by Western capital and have created and ported this ideology onto Russia. With everything that Russia's been through, as if this could ever be an issue. It's just a way that, and most Russians, and especially including communists, all but the most extreme liberals there see this movement as pure American decadence and as antithetical to the rebirth of a country that's been through so much. I know that these NGOs, like Amnesty International and the rest of it, has exaggerated these things. But like in Kiev, the homosexual parade, the pervert parade, had to be guarded by about 1,000 cops, or else it would be destroyed by the locals. The priests came out afterwards and purified the area from the filth. So, but as far as a policy is concerned, there's none that exists. But there certainly is a policy against foreign organizations and foreign money coming in and controlling a social life. There most certainly is.
Indeed. All righty. Why don't we take a caller? Let's take David in California. David, you have a question?
Yeah. About 3 years ago, I heard a story about the GDP, gross domestic product, of Russia and Italy being the same. And I checked a couple of sites back at that time, and it looked like it was about the same. I said, my God, Italy is microscopic compared to the size of Russia. Food's probably doing good to keep the lights on. So, but it sounds from your earlier discussion that things have changed dramatically since then.
Well, Russia, as I said, is the sixth largest economy in the world. It's a highly diverse one. I've actually heard the story about the Italian thing. I think there's anything wrong with it. Italy was highly industrialized prior to the EU, of course. And again, Russia's sold it. Most of Russia's empty, like the U.S. Most of it is empty. And so they certainly have room to grow. But I'm not sure where Italy stands on the list of GDP, total, you know, value of the country is concerned, largest economy. I'm not sure where they are, but Russia was equal to Canada just maybe 5 years ago. I think they were just ahead of Canada. And so they may have gone up since then. I'm not sure.
Well, Canada's, what is that, like less than half the size of the United States in population. Most of it's huddled against the northern border of the United States for warmth.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot in common in that respect. A lot of empty space.
Oh. Yeah, a tremendous amount of habitable space, I mean, of space, but not that much of it is easy to live in.
Well, parts of it get a bad rap. I mean, I'm one of these guys who likes the cold. Maybe not the 20 below that we got last week, but you know, Siberia, with the exception of the Arctic part, is a very beautiful part of the world. It's absolutely gorgeous. The only problem I see with it is the bugs. When the snow melts and the standing water, the bugs will drive you insane. But the Canadians have the same problem. But other than that, yeah, Siberia is absolutely gorgeous.
Unless you're there in chains, right?
Well, the Siberian prisons prior to the Soviet Union weren't really prisons. You were in private homes. There was no one keeping an eye on you. Lenin wrote, got half his works in prison there. So it was very different from what was created in the Soviet era. It just kind of got a bad reputation, not from the Tsarist era, but from the Soviet Union. So that's what created prisons. Tsar Nicholas wasn't a big fan of prisons in general. And medieval Russia and early modern Russia didn't have prisons at all. So it was very easy to escape from so-called prison in Siberia in the late 19th century.
Interesting. David, did you have another question or comment?
I have a friend who was a Marine guard in a whole bunch of embassies, and he had tons of friends all over the place, including Russia and Ukraine. And things are pretty good over there now. You're probably freer in Russia than you are in the United States.
Well, I know you're freer in China than you are in the United States, and yet we hear a lot of really terrible things about China. But it's pretty open. Of course, the Communist Party does run China, 200 people, but as far as the ability to travel about, you can get on an airplane with a bottle of water, and you don't have to be frisked or take off your shoes or any of that nonsense. So,
David is correct. It's there are more political parties that matter in Russia than in the U.S. You have a greater diversity of newspapers of every ideological point of view you could think of in Russia, and that actually matter, that are mainstream, than in the U.S. You don't have just, three or four major conglomerates. There's no ideological position that will get you fired from a job in Russia. I'm not so sure about China, but in Russia, so David's correct. It is freer in the abstract sense, yeah.
Okay.
And the Duma has, 1,500 members? How do you right herd on that huge a political body like that?
Oh, I forget the number off the top of my head. Things have changed. I mean, that's the old Supreme Soviet, and bodies above that were huge. But it's a manageable body. I mean, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. If you were to ask me, I'd have to look that up.
Okay, well,
in other words, what we hear about Russia through the mainstream media is just plain inaccurate.
Well, Johnson's law is at work. Most people don't know anything, so they could say whatever they want, and they're going to be believed. There's not a whole lot of people to say otherwise. So, yes. Remember, David, listen to me. The American press has no obligation to educate anybody. They have no obligation, abstract or otherwise, to tell the truth. They're there to sell papers or to get people to watch their stuff and to satisfy advertisers. They're not educational. They're not an educational institution whatsoever. They are to education what wrestling is to sports.
Right.
So they have their obligation.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah. Their obligation is to get viewers and to sell papers or whatever to make their money. That's their obligation. Nothing more than that.
Interesting. All right, David, thank you for your phone call.
Okay,
did you have another question?
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, thank you so much. All right, let's take Charles in Florida. Oh, it's warm down there. Charles?
Not so warm. It's getting down in the 60s.
Oh, you poor thing.
Not below zero, but
that's
warm
to
you.
I'm so sorry for you. Oh, bless
you. It's warm for you in Chicago.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
My God.
I used to know Fred Farrell, that was his pen name. He wrote for Common Sense about Russia in the 70s and started, I think, 1968. He was talking about the old Jew-Bolshevik regime being overthrown in 1968. He said the Russian military had taken over. So I don't know if you have ever encountered him. He was a interesting fellow. He was, he thought of Stalin as being a great Russian chauvinist.
That's common.
You know that he had. Stalin had to bring a lot of things back. You know, rank in the military and grading in school, and you know there were illiterate doctors in the. A friend of mine, you know, that grew up in the Ukraine was telling about, you know, people going to having degrees and they were illiterate. You know, look at this Lysenko, you know, Lysenkoism,
the genetics issue, so-called Mendelianism, Lamarckism, that was Stalin financed that particular view of Darwin. And, you know, Lysenko was far from illiterate, but he was the official biologist of the USSR. He wasn't like Alina Ceausescu, you know. But
right.
I don't think you mean 60. I think you mean 38.
Yeah, during the 30s. You know, my friend Nina, she lived in Gulfport, you know, that's part of St. Petersburg. She had, she and her mother, she remembered the Holodomor, you know, the people dying, you know, with the collectivization of agriculture in the 30s, you know, and she and her mother had gotten out with the German army, you know, as he protected her. You know, the Red Army, if it had gotten hold of her, they would have raped her. She said that anybody that did something like that to the German army or their allies would have been shot. You know, but the Red Army was different.
Well, that's true. Why did Solzhenitsyn go to the gulags? Because he was captured by the Germans. He didn't do anything else.
Right. You couldn't admit, I've read some of Solzhenitsyn's, you couldn't admit in a Soviet novel that you'd ever been captured by the enemy, the Germans or whoever. You know, if you were, you would be subject to arrest.
Right to the camps, the re-education, because they were afraid that you the stuff may have rubbed off on you. And that's what initially that's all that Solzhenitsyn never did was get captured.
Right.
I've been at this for a long time, and I've read, God, the amount of material I've read, so I'm surprised I'm still here, to absolutely make certain that either whether Stalin was a nationalist or not, and he most certainly is not. I have quotes from him in my new book.
That's true.
That 1931, he says, national and racial chauvinism is a vestige of the misanthropic customs characteristic of the period of cannibalism. I'm reading it as we're talking here right now. 1931, Stalin wrote that in Pravda. 1936.
During the doctor's plot, you know, they could talk about rootless cosmopolitans, meaning Jews, you know, and
The whole story about Stalin being this anti-Semite nationalist, it derives from this. Stalin needed to purge the party of people who may oppose him. Not an ideological ground.
No, he's anti-Zionist. Yeah, that's true. He wasn't.
He was always anti-Zionist.
Anti-Jewish. He was anti-Zionist.
It wasn't anti-Jewish, later. But it was anti-Zionist. That's true. And really,
yes,
you know, the US,
right.
Israel went to the U.S. because the Soviet Union was destroyed after the war. You know, the U.S. got a better deal, gave a better deal than Stalin ever could. I mean, Stalin was surrounded by Jews his whole life.
Did you know that Reagan brought a whole load of Bolshevik Jews during his administration, the so-called Great Conservative, you know, a total phony. That's what the neocons are. Is all these Trotskyites that were undercover inside. They just came over here and set up shop again. They want to They want to turn us into another Germany or Russia. You know, it would be like a Weimar Republic. We're in the Weimar Republic stage.
That's a very good point.
Good California, you can't say he or she, or you're arrested. You have you can't use pronouns. They tell you you get 20 years in jail or 10 years in jail, 20 or $1 million fine for boycott of Israel. Congress is.
Charles,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
What I said initially, the way to view it is when Stalin began purging the party. Of course, the early Bolsheviks were about 90% Jewish. Putin has said that recently.
Right.
You can't deny it. So,
right. Sure.
So it wasn't an attack on Jews as such. It
no.
was just because they all were, you know. And of course, he was surrounded by Jews. He married
right,
two of them.
Right. Of course.
His daughters married Jews, you know, so he was
right.
never, and he enforced the death penalty for anti-Semitism, which was not repealed during his era. But it was
right.
easy for the American left, had to invent the anti-Semitic Stalin, or else they'd have to admit that the old Bolsheviks were all Jews. So they weren't going to admit that. So they had to say, oh, this must have been an attack on Jews as such. And what you mentioned about the neocons, followers of Trotsky, who hated, I mean, he was a Jewish nationalist before anything else, hated Stalin and the Soviet Union so badly that they would support anybody who made war on the USSR. And that's where the neocons come from. You're absolutely right.
Right. Sure.
But that's the mentality behind it. Either you say that the old Bolsheviks were all Jews, or Stalin was an anti-Semite. You have to see, and that's where that initially came from.
Well, to preserve the system, he had to bring back grading in school, rank in the military, religion. He had to bring all those. He became kind of a nationalist by sheer necessity. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you know, I always tell people
that by the logic of this, either the system would have. Of broken down, you know, before World War II.
Yeah.
If he hadn't done that, if he hadn't, you know, become kind of like whether a phony nationalist or a real nationalist.
It's just a matter of, well, he wasn't, I mean, those things aren't nationalism. I mean, what Charles is talking
right.
about is an important point. He's Trotsky and Kollontai, and Trotsky was more powerful than Lenin, engaged in all kinds of weird social experimentation, you know, collective child rearing, easy divorce, easy abortion. Within 5 years, the economy was in such turmoil from this. There were so many unwanted kids. And people began to just collapse morally. So even before Stalin, people said, we simply can't have this anymore. In other words, the family law system that was too radical for Trotsky and Lenin is what we have in the U.S. today. The notion, you know, easy divorce, everything, you know, easy
abortion.
And that was central. Now, Stalin did ban abortion in 1943, as did Nicolae Ceausescu, but that had more to do with population growth than any, you know, love of life. So, but what you say is an important point. The system was collapsing. I think the only thing that keeps our system together is drugs. They had Stalin, we have Prozac.
Have you seen where the governor of New Mexico won't send the National Guard troops to borders? There's a
This is getting
Mexican bad. Chauvinist. Or, you know, he just, I guess he wants to join Mexico.
Well, the great thing about Trump, the one great thing is he brought a lot of our people together, and he exposed, for anybody who's on the fence about the press and the system as a whole, they can't be on the fence anymore. He's forcing everything to a head. Yeah, I mean, I remember even when he was running, you had people saying, we're not going to enforce his law. This
wow.
is what we're right now. It's getting worse.
Gentlemen, we're going to take a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back. Charles, you're welcome to stay over if you like.
Hang on. Okay, right, I didn't know if you wanted to hang on.
Be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead. To change the bad to good, to live in harmony.
All righty.
Starts with you and me.
We are back. And I believe we still have our Florida gentleman, Charles, who is just suffering so greatly down there in that 60-degree weather. We're going to have to send our blessings
down.
Need
anything for us? Need anything? Any care packages? Or?
my office was 52 degrees this morning. My office in my house. 52. Okay.
Is that all? That's warm by Chicago standards, I think. It's been down below zero, hasn't it?
Yeah, but that's inside my house. That's inside my house because of the cold has just seeped in. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, you mean outside. Oh, yeah, I wanted to bring up another thing about how naive people were around the time. National Geographic... May 1907, a famous journalist of the time was painting how easily these Jewish Bolsheviks were able to get away with when they were actually sentenced to Siberia. They just things were just so lackadaisical And you know, and on the Tsar was surrounded by Jews, just like the Kaiser. The Kaiser was a damn chump. He was taken in by British propaganda. The Corbett Report, I don't know if you've seen that on the
Charles?
You're cutting out.
I can't hear you.
Yeah. Charles, I think you're cutting out.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Nicholas, I mean, there were a few elite Jews at the end of the Russian Empire, but he was far from surrounded by them. That's certainly not true. He didn't trust them, and he was kind of pretty famous for that.
Did you know that what's his name, the mystic, the Rus family, I guess, Rasputin banked on his knees, not for the
Charles, you're still cutting out. And
okay, I'm sorry.
I just heard you say Rasputin. So maybe we better cut you loose. Maybe it's all that heat.
Okay,
the heat
thank you.
Down there. Okay, yeah. Thanks anyway. Thank you.
Thanks, Charles. Yeah, it's all his suffering.
Yes.
He's losing his voice.
Yes, poor guy. let's take Mickey in the Carolinas. Mickey, are you there?
And yes, we're here. I'll just wait for that click to come through. And Matthew, you don't have to do anything. Charles has a brand new Sunbeam electric blanket on the way by Pony Express. We felt real sorry.
Oh,
for him.
Wonderful. See, our people. Is he the brotherhood I'm talking about here?
Yes, that's terrific.
Yeah, we were going to send some little cigarette lighters, but we feel it's too dangerous for people his age. So here's a couple things I want to pass on. You have a real good program going, and Matthew, thank you very much for everything you do. I know there's been some harm and hell involved in it. It always is. I just finished listening to Thomas Goodrich, Deanna, on the Dennis Fetchio show this morning, and it was very, very good. He's always good, and he's always good to hear, too.
Absolutely.
Matthew, out there, there's a Lenin
Your voice is
statue.
Very familiar, but you didn't call in as Mickey before.
No,
Your
no,
voice
that's
is
right, that's right. That's right.
But
that's
I haven't talked to you for a long time, and I wondered where you went. I'm glad that you called
been here,
in. Thank
I listen
you.
Once. I listen once in a while, but there's a reason why this is going on. Okay, and it's
okay.
all legitimate. Anyway, okay. There's a Lenin statue at the on the property of the University of Washington in Seattle, Washington.
Yep.
I find it very interesting why it's still standing after going through everything that happened in Charlottesville. And I'm very familiar with what happened in Charlottesville, too. You made some statements that are very interesting that I've not heard before. I hope that we can get you on another program, too, to get some more people from Charlottesville, because what came out of there was nothing but total propaganda.
Absolutely, yeah. It was
awful. Was a total setup. The second day, we knew it was a total setup. We knew exactly who was involved with it. And this Antifa crowd need to know that people who showed up in Charlottesville had a permit to be there.
That's right.
They didn't come there with anything except good intentions.
That's right.
And when Antifa showed up, they did not have a permit, and they should have been shot on sight. These people are just vicious, and they need to be treated as vicious too. They're not
said they were going to kill us. That's what they said over and over again. We're going to kill them. We're going to smash them. We're going to bash their heads in. That's what they said over and over again online.
Yeah, yeah. I was stunned to hear some of your comments, and if you don't mind, I'm going to try and get some people get in touch with you. If you don't mind, Dan, we're going to kind of pass them on to a couple more people. They're right in the smack in the middle of it. We also have two people, Dr. Michael Hill and also David Duke, are being sued. And the lawsuits are there to financially damage people, and they're trying to shut them up, and this is going to stop in this country.
That's exactly right. And, of course, we have guys in jail who are innocent.
Wow.
The legal system are being weaponized. We got innocent people in jail, and the judge who's involved in this is up to
Mickey,
his eyeball.
Gentlemen, we do have to go to a quick break. Mickey, stay over if you'd like to, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All righty, well, I'm going to cut off the music here and get back to our conversation. We had Mickey in the Carolinas, and
I want to address a few things that Mickey brought up.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, you know, I know he did too. I followed the Ramos and Goodwin trial. I'm friends with Jacob Goodwin's mother. I did some research for her concerning his appeal. You know, you said that they weaponized the legal system, and you're absolutely right. That's a great way to put it, because in the Ramos trial, of course, the defense attorney threw it. I mean, he deliberately lost the case.
Wow.
But in the Goodwin case, it was different. They had video evidence. They showed the jury the video of what happened. It couldn't be clearer. He was convicted anyway. So even video evidence isn't sufficient. And what it comes down to is no jury wants to be given all the propaganda. And it should have been moved. It shouldn't have been in Charlottesville, but it was. They tried to get it moved, and it was denied. And change of venue was pretty obvious. They're not going to be the ones to let neo-Nazi murderers go free. So that verdict came out of fear. And the sentence that he received was far greater than that judge has given for far worse crimes in that department. So it was clearly politicized. I don't know what's going to happen with his You know, the family's really cash strapped. They need help. But how that appeal goes, I don't know. But when you have actual video and photographic evidence that doesn't work, you know you got a problem. If our people are arrested, we're in serious trouble, if it's a political issue.
Wow.
Very well put. You made some good comments that I want to kind of pass on. I have a couple more things to pass on very quickly. And after that, if Ken will take my phone number, I'll give you my phone number. If Dr. Johnson, if you'll give me a shout, or Deanna, I'd like to talk with you personally and give you some background of what's going on. You'll be really mm-hmm. interested in knowing what I know. Okay. Anyway, the other issue is my question to you, Dr. Johnson, is Putin, and one of my favorite families in the whole history of this earth happens to be the Romanovs. And my question is, it's been brought to my attention a couple of years ago that Putin may be a direct lineage of the Romanov family. Is that correct?
I've not heard that. I've not come across, you know, and I'm up on all of the royalist works in Russian and in English. Coming there, I haven't come across it. But
okay.
But again, you know, being a Romanov isn't necessarily the criterion. You know, Romanovs only started ruling Russia since 1613. And I appreciate your support of them. The Romanovs, you know, for the most part, other than the 18th century, of course, had tremendous, tremendous leaders. And, but I have not heard that about Putin, but he is certainly treated. When he went to Mount Athos, essentially the Orthodox capital of the world, he was asked by the abbot to go into the section that the Byzantine emperors used to stand in. He didn't want to, but they asked him to. That's how they're viewing him on Mount Athos. So, you know, there's no doubt that he has royal elements in him, but I don't know about direct lineage.
Well, I would think if it was true, it would be well known, but I would certainly like to think so. I do know probably about 80% of the population of the United States is behind him, and they'd rather have him come over and probably run for president next time around.
I think that's true. I think his image is really great, and it's really who he is. You know, he's, you know, black belt in judo. He's in great shape. He's a plain talker. You know, he's a simple guy in how he lives. Yeah, I think Americans would love him. So the press has got to go into overtime, making him into a monster, and they have very little to go on.
Well, he's been in a position where he's had to make some difficult decisions and a hardliner, but he's come out smelling pretty well, and he seems like he has his people in mind rather than anything else. So that's where it's all at. Without your people, you've got nothing else. You've got borders and dirt. That's it. You've got to have the people there. So this invasion we're going through here in the States is unprecedented. The only people who can be held responsible, who need to be held responsible, are your congressional members. They need to be rounded up, put in jail, given 10 days worth of due process, and then ask them one last question. Do you want a blindfold or not? It's exactly where they need to go. These people are criminally corrupt, and they're destroying everything that's been built for the last 1,000 years. This is crazy.
Well, I want to go even higher than that. I'm more worried about the people who finance their campaigns, you know, the major bankers, people who show up at the Bilderberg meetings. These are the people who, you know, I mean, not this last presidential election, the one before it, Goldman Sachs gave $16 million to both parties. You know, so, you know, I think these are far more powerful than any politician. But as I've said before, Putin's popularity comes from the fact that he threw all of these Jewish oligarchs out of the country, you know, in his first few days. If he shot them, he'd be even more popular.
To begin to see the billionaire Jews coming out of the woodwork with their wanting to be president. They have something to contribute, such as Howard Schultz out there in Seattle, who heads up Starbucks. He's a whack job. Bloomberg, yeah. Michael Bloomberg, is another whack job.
That's right.
Barney Feiss, Saunders is also another whack job, a Jew. And these people have got nothing, no contributions to make to society whatsoever. They got their own world they live in. It doesn't apply to what's here in the state. This, in the United States, is different than what they think it is.
That's right.
They can sit there and take their money and buy whatever they want to. They've done that. All the judges, the prosecutors, the lawyers, a lot of your military have been bought off. And so where what's left? Nothing but chaos. We've got third, fourth world countries coming up here, and they're turning this place into a cesspool. And the only people I say are responsible, not the only ones, but to start right there with your representatives. This thing cut loose. I think they're going to start a minority war here. If it cuts loose, then they need to be held responsible, and that's the end of that. I mean, they've enjoyed their livelihood in this country free, and they're going to have to pay the price for it, too. That's the way I see it going.
Well, I remember, they have to be held responsible. And I remember when Trump first threw his hat in the ring, I think Sears and Roebuck was the first company to come out against him. And they're the ones, and it was big firms that came out against him because he was in favor of curtailing immigration substantially, illegal and otherwise. And that was his main thing. So when these guys see that their source of cheap labor, demographic shift, votes going out the window, even slightly, they turned on Trump with a ferocity that I've never seen. And then since then, I've learned exactly how dependent the U.S. is, or the elites are, on immigration, on cheap labor coming from abroad. It's far greater than even I thought. They're a part of the elite economy. Of course, they drive down wages. And they have a tendency to be more docile because they shouldn't be here in the first place. But elite capital is very much dependent on illegal and legal immigration. And
the middle class has been pretty much wiped out. That's what's happened through Clinton and then NAFTA. What they're going to end up doing is that the reason why all this is happening is you're going to see America will survive, but it will not recover. That's all there is to it. Companies are not coming back to America. They're outside of the United States because they only have 2 or 3% taxes. They come back in here, it's 20%. They're not coming back. That's just plain and simple. The two processes you want to keep in mind is that the elites want to preserve the natural resources of the earth. They're being depleted so fast, it's unreal. They went over the top in 1980. So they've got to stop the depletion of the natural service, the natural sources of earth. They also have to go through depopulation. That's how they're going to do it. So those are two things you don't want to forget.
And these are
preservation of natural resources and and depopulation is where they're going. They're not going to stop till they get there either.
And that's why Venezuela is so important to them. It's one of the reasons Russia is so important.
Everybody's like you brought up real good points. Everybody's hurtling around the natural resources. Look in Africa and look up in Romania and Ukraine. Those are a lot of natural resources up through there. In South America, and look at who's hovering around them to preserve those for themselves. That's what's happened. That's the longevity right there. In 25 words or less, that's exactly what's going on, and it'll continue too. If you're familiar with the Georgia Guidestones, I take my clients down there. I take them down there and have their pictures taken right in front of them. They're absolutely awesome. The word awesome, they invented the words awesome. That's a huge place. Now I'm taking up enough of your time. I really appreciate doing this. I'm going to leave my phone number with Ken if he'll take me down. I want to ask one last question to everybody and directly to you, Dr. Johnson, and that is, do you know where the largest Russian horsemen are located outside of Russia?
Russian what is located?
Horsemen. The Russian horsemen. Russia is well known for its horsemen.
The Cossacks especially, yeah.
Do you know where the largest Russian horsemen are located outside of Russia?
You mean largest? You mean the largest number of people?
Yes.
Wherever the Cossacks have gone, you'll find communities, of course, large in Ukraine, in Central Asia, and in Turkey, and prior to the revolution in China, northern China.
I'm going to give you the answer.
Oh, that wasn't Spartanburg. I wasn't supposed to answer that?
I'm going to give you the answer to the question, and that is, the answer is Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Interesting.
Well, what is down there?
Uh, look in Tryon, North Carolina, and Columbus, North Carolina. You'll find Fence, F-E-N-S-E. It is a very, that's where we held the Olympics right there. And that's just loaded with Russian horsemen.
Probably a Cossack background.
Not well known. Anyway, if Ken will take me down, I'm going to leave my number. If you'll please give me a shout real quick. I got some things to pass on.
Okay. Thank you, Mickey. All righty. Let's take Lenny in California.
Thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to this broadcast. I came in on the tail end of the last hour, about the last 15 minutes, and I heard the guest say that, well, first let me say this to the person from the chat room who asked a question about Putin being homophobic. I can tell you what he said during the Sochi Olympics not too long ago. And he said that gays who, and I remember the media here tried to make a big thing out of it. And he said the gays were free to come and go as they pleased, but he wanted them to leave the children alone. Do not push this off on the children. Okay, now let me say this. I have nothing but respect for any species that has the balls to stand up to be what God made it to be.
Okay.
And I don't want to be taken wrong in saying that, but I simply find the man fascinating. Now, about that clip that you were talking about when he made all the so-called oligarchs sign that agreement not to take the business out of the country.
Right.
And I remember that part. It's called Putin versus the oligarchs. It's a documentary. To all the listeners who want to go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you're right. It's on YouTube. The whole documentary and that little bit where he crashes into the board meeting. There's at least three or four copies on YouTube right now.
Yeah, and if you look at it, they had all but ripped that country apart. It had turned into the Weimar Republic, and when I look back at Yeltsin being the drunk that America loved, and Borisovsky.
Right.
At the time, who was dating Yeltsin's daughter and beating her, okay,
right.
And knowing that Yeltsin had such a love for his daughter, and then he would beat her to go back and tell Yeltsin what he needed from Yeltsin through her, and then Yeltsin ended up signing everything over. But there was a meeting between Putin and Yeltsin on Yeltsin's deathbed, and that's when Yeltsin supposedly asked him to bring back Russia to its glory. Now, Borisovsky's and the other oligarchs had jumped behind Putin and they had flown Putin to Threadneedle Street in England to take the banker's oath, if you get my meaning. And but Putin played them all. He pretended to be for the oligarchs, but
that's right.
But when he got back to Russia, he got to work for the Russians. And let me just reiterate this. I've got nothing but respect for any species who has the dignity to be what God made it to be. And say what you want, listeners. This man is one of the best that God has put on this earth to help straighten this out. This evil is far beyond what any of us can comprehend. Now, I know that there's a plan. I know what they're planning to do. They want to... The powers that think they be want a scapegoat, a certain quote-unquote color minority group, for their own bad karma that they created. Now, when you look back at this particular group, they've been kicked out of European countries how many times? 106 times? Do you know that?
Least. Yeah.
At least.
Every city, every country, yeah.
Yeah, so I understand what they're, you know, first off, they got as much mileage out of they got as much mileage as they could out of that character named Barack, I call Insane Obama. Because any sane man would have taken that job and did what he did. But what a lot of people don't understand and do not know, do you remember the late Senator Richard Lugar from Indiana?
Yes.
You remember when they so-called had dismantled all the Russian factories and all of the Russian and had taken control of most of Russian nukes and stuff, so there was a fact-finding group that Richard Lugar took. It was like in the late 90s, early 2000s, and he took over to Russia to make sure the Russians were dismantling their nukes and stuff since the former Soviet Union, former so-called Soviet Union, had fallen apart. And he took an apprentice with him by the name Barack Hussein Obama. Now, before they could get on the plane to leave, the Russians surrounded the plane and threatened to arrest Lugar for bringing a spy. And it wasn't that they accused Obama of being a spy for the Secret Service or the FBI or the CIA. They accused him of being a British MI5 spy.
No, but Lugar or Obama? Okay.
Obama. And it was Lugar that begged. It was Lugar that begged for them to let them go and let them take Obama with him.
Wow.
I like this guy. Deanna, I like this guy.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's keep him over. We'll go to the... we've only got 10 more minutes. Okay, but... we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Our guest today is Dr. Matthew Johnson. His website is rusjournal.org. And Lenny has hung up. We do have some other callers, Mark in Louisiana. And make it really quick because we're running out of time. Mark, quick.
Yes, good evening. Yes, I understand and acknowledge that Putin has done great things, especially bringing Russia from the abyss due to that, you know, scumbag Yeltsin, who did probably more harm than even than Stalin. He was a pathetic drunk that turned over, you know, the country to the hyenas with the Star of David.
But at the same time,
I'm also very concerned with how Putin has treated his friends. If I would have been in his place, I would have forged an alliance with Iran, a la NATO, in Syria, in Venezuela, in China, in North Korea, such that anything that NATO would do against any of these countries, that would be considered an attack on Russia.
He
hasn't done anything about it. You know, the United States keeps slapping around. Trump even killed Russian soldiers, and he did absolutely nothing about it.
He helped create the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which was
essentially not an alliance.
That's exactly what it is. It's not as formal as NATO. That's true, but China has made many, many statements that any attack on Russia militarily would be an attack on China. And they've said that relative to Crimea, especially when they have investments and they have their people there.
But not on Iran, for instance, not on Syria.
Well, Iran is a member
Israel
of the
SCO. Israel keeps attacking those countries, and, you know, he doesn't do anything about it.
What's he supposed to do?
Bomb the living hell out of Israel. That's what he should do.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Yes, Israel, and I think I know why.
Israel has nuclear weapons.
He's not totally free.
It would be a difficult thing to do. It would be, in a country with nuclear weapons, you know, bombing them would, remember Israel's policy. If they're ever up against the wall, they put the nukes up and bring them right back down again, and they'll destroy anybody who's doing it. We may fantasize
about it. We'll have to have a showdown with little Israel, and let's see who comes on top.
Well, that's going to happen. There's no doubt. And I certainly hope that.
Well, I hope so.
I think, you know, and you're right. The U.S. is pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. But Iran is a member of the SCO, and it's an economic alliance, it's a cultural alliance. There's also substantial military cooperation. And this is one of the reasons that, you know, Iran really can't be invaded right now. So he did do this. And, you know, China to a great extent is dependent on Russian oil and Russian technology. And that alliance has been mutually beneficial and is the one thing that's keeping the American empire at bay, in my opinion.
Wow, we're out of time. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Matthew. Bless your heart for joining me today.
My heart feels blessed.
Thank you. Alrighty, take care, and we'll talk with you next week, listeners.
It was a pleasure.
Oh, my pleasure. My honor, my pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.